We're recording.
Good evening and welcome to the City of Pacific Park Board Commission meeting. Members today are Kate Hopes, Shauna, Regina, Wes, and our new member, Mara Dobbs. We have no members absent, and the city staff with us tonight are Chris, Jason, and Mark.
So, Mark, can I make a comment? Kevin Presence was a late addition. Yesterday, he offered to come and talk with us about the pop-up dog park, which we'll get to a little later.
Okay. So next up is the approval of meeting minutes from the 2/22/23 meetings. Were you all able to review the meeting minutes prior to the meeting?
Yes. Yes. But I was at the meeting, but I did review the notes.
Are there any revisions, additions, subtractions? All those in favor of approving the minutes as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The meeting minutes have been approved. Next up is our audience comment. Do we have any comments from the audience tonight?
Well, I guess if I'm going to get recorded, you got to go over this mic. Oh, darn it.
It'll record from here, but you're good.
Does it work?
You should be
good. Okay, well. Now, I'm not going to say anything about the fact that we still have signs on this building that say 1889. Everybody knows that that's incorrect. And I will be no longer coming to these meetings. I'm probably going to start going to meetings where they've got a city hall that's marked 1889, and that's correct. And it's not far away. It's Ording, Washington. You've probably all been there. And you will see signs as you go in to the, that particular city that says incorporated in 1889. And they can say it with some truth. Is probably the 32nd city that was incorporated in the city in the Washington state, and that works out well. So that's my usual harping on the subject. My second subject is the reason I'm here tonight is what is the present situation for replacement for the city park? I passed around something here that has to do with 92.5% of the parks gone away. And I hope I can learn tonight what is being done to replace the big void that has been occurred because there is no longer the main park. Another thing, I've been talking to Mary, what's her name, from the county, and I'm hoping that the word mitigation comes up in the county. I'm not quite sure I'm going to be able to pull anything off, but maybe there's going to be a brand new cap put over the garbage dump. And on the top of that cap, there'll be an elevation, which is so high. And in the wintertime, picnic tables might not get washed away. And those same picnic tables might get used in the summer without any special additions. But maybe this is just me thinking too far in the future. Let me throw that out and see how it goes. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is old business and the park inspection report from February to March. So after reviewing the park inspection report, which was sent out with the minutes, do we have any questions? Since I noticed Jason is here, we can talk to the actual man who puts it together. I guess my only question is, how is the mole killing business?
It's not well, unfortunately.
We have about three or four parks, mostly over in the Pacific Meadows area. And just when I think I kind of get ahead of them, they start popping up. They've gone away in the past, and I'm assuming they will again this year. So I don't know if the park board wants to spend the money to try to get an exterminator out there, or we just let them go away and I just camp down in the molehills. I'm open for suggestions.
And my other question is, Otter Park, this is the second month in a row you found broken glass.
Yeah.
Okay. And your dumping problems have now, it used to be at one, and now it appears to you have now had the problem at four parks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
The garbage. So it used to be at just one of the parks, and now he's finding neighborhood garbage. Ooh, I touched. I'm sorry. At Blueberry, at Rhubarb, and Sunset. And I'm sorry, I thought I saw another one. Blueberry.
And the parking lot down here on 3rd.
Yes.
On the trail. That one is constantly getting filled with.
Yeah, because people park in there all the time and they get out.
Yeah. But some of it I think might be neighbors. Because it looks like they had a big barbecue. It's not something that you would see a homeless person living out of their car, because some of the stuff you can see in the can, and it looks like it's we have too much or pick up this week for our can, let's take it over here, which I'm sure that's common, but I do notice it quite a bit.
So it seems like it's expanding. It used to be one park, and now other people have found that it's a good way to get rid of their garbage.
I have a question.
Yes.
Jason, nice meeting you again.
Yeah, I met you once.
Yeah, yes, it was
awesome. Yeah.
Nice to meet you, and I appreciate the work you're doing out there.
Thank you.
Over there. I was just wondering, too, I noticed the increase in garbage, too. Do you think it could have had something to do with the weather delay with the garbage pickups? I mean, there was a couple of times our neighborhood didn't even get picked up at all.
Yeah, and part of that was the fact that waste management, if they miss a recycling or a garbage pickup that week, the next week is recycling for somebody else. It's staggered. But I found that some people are leaving their cans out for 2 weeks at a time. You get windstorms, rodents, whoever, and then raccoons. So now you're finding garbage spread out. So I could see at the beginning, but not now. Now it's just people are piling up garbage outside their cans. Wind's blowing it into the parks. Otter is really bad for that.
Yeah.
Rhubarb can be bad for that.
Okay, thank you.
And the last time I came to council, there was like a garbage can.
Yes, we're in the process of just finalizing our mailer and what we're going to distribute out. There's a couple of things we need to tidy up, and then we'll be ready for distribution.
So they are going to have rules about how to leash your garbage cans.
Good.
Where to put them.
Yeah.
Good.
And signs in the park?
Yes. Jason, I'm not sure how many no dumping signs we have. They seem to get knocked down.
Of course.
They just kick over the wood posts.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe they put them in the garbage.
But we've also had signs off the trail that had some no dumping signs, and the post is still there, but the signs have been stripped and taken off. I find a lot of that along the trail.
Wow.
And I'm hoping that eventually when we do the war memorials with cameras going in, that'll deter some people, but people are pretty brazen, unfortunately.
Do we have any other questions about the park inspection reports?
Sorry, it seems like in Rhubarb Park, that was on the last one, that it's a continuous problem for the unit. There's nothing stuff there. Have they been doing what neighbor it is? And
we do. There's neighbors that live on the corner of Rhubarb, and their kids are constantly bringing things over, dumping them in the park. They're not taught to put their toys away. I throw away a lot of stuff because I told the mom, I said, I'm not responsible for picking up after your kids. If I find things, I'm assuming they're abandoned, and I treat them as such. So it slowed it down a little bit, but then they start digging holes in the lawns. We've talked to them. The kids are super rude. They have sworn at city vehicles as people. They'll come walk out in front of your truck, so you slow down for them to let them pass, and then they'll flip you off. They'll curse at you. The parents pretend they can't speak English unless they need to complain about something on their neighbors. Then they come in and speak perfect English. So I don't know what to do about it.
Okay.
If you find garbage with somebody's name on it, we can start a code enforcement case.
Sure. Oh. I personally am not going to dig through stuff. I don't know what's in there.
So.
But you're right. If I do see something that's got some mail, I'll look through it. But a lot of times it's stolen stuff, because I'll find a Amazon package that'll be ripped open. It's got an address, but it's in North Seattle it's in Tacoma. So that tells me it was probably stolen and ditched there.
And I think we have a question.
I think we talked about it at council meeting about the new garbage cans. One thing that would definitely help with people dumping household garbage, especially, or even car garbage into these cans, is to restrict the hole size to not much bigger than, you know, a soda bottle or whatever, and have
or
to live
bag.
Walk
down through it.
So that at that point, they'd have to blatantly throw it on the ground, and most people that are trying to use that garbage can for their use aren't going to do that.
Or they take the lid off. Well, I find that sometimes too, but you're right, that would slow it down quite a bit. I like that idea, for sure.
So I think that will help us transition to our next agenda item, which is the update on the garbage bins.
So like I was just saying, we're finalizing what we want to mail out, and I think we're going to take Councilmember Stutler's suggestion, and we're going to package them in with utility bills so that we can, you know, reach as many people as possible on the first go.
So this actually is about the garbage bins at the park.
For the park. Yeah. We just need to show the pictures to council, and then so they can give us approval to order them. And we're going to go with the plastic slats with the dome lid that can be fastened to the garbage can.
And those are the ones that are, I'm going to say, 700 to 800-ish.
Yes, the ones that I was looking at, they're about 768.
And I'm getting a couple more bids. Okay. Lots of vendors out there. So.
Is it possible with that design of can to have the restricted?
They have the ones with the small hole. The only thing is, you know, rain and stuff go in. Now the little critters can get in those because the holes, you know,
right,
open. Versus the dome lids or advantage of those things, you know, you got to push the flap to put stuff in. That way creatures can't get in there, things can't get in there.
Right.
It keeps the rain out. So it depends on the option, I guess.
And I know some of the ones I was looking at, the cans have a chain lock that goes onto the domed lid, so it can't be completely taken off without a key.
Or being broke.
Yeah, or being absolutely broke.
So we had that issue down at the city park, and I remember we started chaining those because some of the kids, they couldn't reach, the little guys couldn't reach some of the big toys that were intended for bigger kids. So they would take the lids off the garbage cans, smart little buggers, yeah. But they put them down and stand on them, then they could reach it. So you do probably want to lock them on.
Yeah, most cities chain those up because they're not cheap to replace either. So those dome lids can be $100 to $200 a piece.
Okay. Is there anything else we need to discuss about our garbage bins? Seeing none, let's move up to the update on the Get Active, Stay Active grant, the delivery, installation, and etc.
So we actually just took delivery of the first piece of the rock climbing folder. It's
The plastic borders or the borders, timber borders, and then deliver that. They came early, but we have those in the yard secured. Right now, we're looking at April for the delivery of the boulder and installation, middle of April, possibly. But I'll have that more confirmed in the next week or two. That's kind of the projected date for the install was mid-April, with the wood chip fibers being blown in on April 21st on a Friday. Right now, I was looking at our timeline, but that just depends on the shipping. If that gets delayed a little, it might be a little bit longer, but I expect we have this installed by the end of April, beginning of May.
So
ready to go for summer.
Would we be able to, hopefully, fingers crossed, have it all in by the 21st so that we could dedicate both it and the exercise equipment on the 22nd while we're doing our Earth Day?
I mean, that was kind of the estimate they're giving me to be done on the 21st. So I don't think that's, I know with doing these projects in the past myself, being involved with kind of these kind of projects, there's always going to be something that's going to delay by a day or two. So I wouldn't, it's hard to count on that day. Things happen in construction, you know, things delays, delivery delays. There's always delays.
Is that actually could we dedicate at least the exercise equipment, because it's there, it's being used. Could we dedicate it?
If that's something you want us to do, yes.
Well, I guess the question is, hi. So since that has been installed, we were going to dedicate it and you were working with the mayor. Has the mayor come up with the idea to do it on Earth Day?
No, she has not said that.
No, okay. So where are we with dedication day for the exercise equipment?
I'll bring it up with the mayor. I'll ask her.
The other exercise equipment already out there.
Yeah.
So we're looking at, I'll say conservatively, probably by May 15th.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would expect that many delays. It would be nice if it was done the 21st for Pickup Pacific, be already on, you know, that weekend or Earth Day stuff and all that. That'd be great. But
okay.
It happened.
Do we have any other questions about the Get Active, Stay Active grant? Seeing none. Let's talk about the spring cleanup day on April the 22nd.
So that's just the annual cleanup day. They're going to have dumpsters out here for people to bring their larger items for disposal. And so we're going to partner the Earth Cleanup Day with the Wetland Restoration, because there should be volunteers in that area, you know, helping with cleanup day. There will be some down helping with the Wetland Restoration. So we're really going to try and push like a community service weekend.
So have you, and forgive me, you probably have already sent out where you can sign your teams up for wetland or sign up for cleanup?
It's usually for the wetland stuff, it's just emailing me and I'm just keeping track and organizing the volunteer groups. But for the Cleanup Pacific Day, I believe that's...
We got it on Facebook.
Is that,
like,
yeah,
on the Facebook. We got the community center Facebook page and the city Facebook page.
It's got the Pulse.
Mm-hmm. And I did procure two $25 gift cards for door prizes for all the volunteers from Bigfoot Java is donated. So we'll be able to have a drawing for all of everybody that helped volunteer that day with some.
Are we pitting the teams against each other this year?
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
They've done that. And with the dumpsters, will there be a recyclable dumpster and a garbage dumpster?
Well, the other thing, information going out is Algona is hosting on the 22nd all the e-recycle and recyclable stuff over at their city hall, which we got a flyer for too. Because last year in the spring, Algona hosted all the recycling at their place. Then in the fall, Pacific will host all the recycling stuff over here by our city hall. So we kind of, and it's for both residents.
Mm-hmm.
All of them, we're putting that on the Pulse and on Facebook too, that all the Pacific residents can go to that recycling event. So we're unable to get those, obviously, because all the recycling people are going to be over there on the same day as our Pickup Pacific.
Okay.
So we'll just have the dumpster. Ours is more the cleanup, okay. But for recycling, we can refer people to go over. They'll have everything, pretty much anything you can recycle over there, you know, going at the City Hall parking lot. So, like I said, then in the fall, we'll host it, and the same thing will be all for Pacific residents, and anybody living in Algona are welcome to bring all their recyclables to.
Okay.
Question, what was the date for the Eve disposal?
That is the same day, 22nd, Saturday.
Okay.
And that goes from 9 to, I know our pickup's from 9 to 1, and I think theirs goes most 9 to 1, too, I think.
Okay. All right. And how are the signups going right now? Are you getting a good response from the postings you have for volunteers?
I've gotten a few responses, and I've got a few emails from high school students needing volunteer hours. Gina Lysak, who used to be on the board with us, she's contacted me, and she's reaching out to some volunteer groups. And so I'd say outreach is going well.
Okay.
Is there anything else we need to talk about for spring cleanup on Earth Day? So let's move forward to the Waterworks Wetland Restoration Grant Update.
So this is the supplier we have for this, and this is all funded through grant money by King County's Wastewater Division. So where we're at now is we're going to have the first removal of sticker bushes and invasive species on April 1st. The second removal will be April 15th, and then we'll have our planting day on April 22nd. And I think what we've decided to do, because after doing a walk around with both the wetland biologist, who's kind of going to be supervising some of the more technical stuff with the removal and planting, and then Jason, when we visited the parks, we want to focus on areas that we can do the most good and are the most visible to the community. So it looks like we're going to be focusing on Blueberry Park, and if we have the capacity, Milwaukee. So it'll be the parks around the wetland that kind of face the residential areas.
Is there any other comments or questions about the wetland restorations?
Do all the parks need that same service?
Not all of them, but the Pacific Meadows Park specifically, because on the inside it is a wetland, and all of these parks kind of border it, and it's just the invasive species, they just encroach and encroach further each year.
Okay. Will there be a plan to implement the same service at the other parks at a later date, maybe?
Depends on grant funding.
Okay.
And that is something that we're looking at, because we would like to do more environmental restoration. I know there are other spots that we're looking at getting some grants to pay for restoration. One of them is the well site over by Algona. Okay. So it's just a matter of getting funds to do it.
Okay. So the grant we currently have will cover the work that we're going to do for these parks now. Okay. Okay. Got it. Thank you.
I know at one time there was talk about doing restoration work on the stream over here that runs along the trail,
Milwaukee Creek. So I know there was a big wetland planting. Jason, was that 2 years ago?
Two or 3 years ago. It was before COVID.
COVID. Yeah, there was a big wetlands planting down there. They fenced it off, and me and Jason actually went there this last week, and it's in relatively good health, I would say. A lot of the plants are thriving. There's a water table, and there's not too many invasive species popping up, namely blackberries.
Took me almost 2 hours to get all that mud out of my car. Any other questions about our Waterworks Wetland Restoration Grants? Hearing none. Future park board meetings.
Seems like we're doing that.
We are currently recording, so.
Well, we're recording, mm-hmm. So we can now move on to new business. So we'd like to welcome our new youth member. Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So right now I'm a junior at Auburn Riverside. I'm on the exec board for ASB, which is like over the whole school. I'm currently the secretary there, and I wanted to join this so I could be more involved in the community around.
Awesome.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming and joining us, and maybe you can get some of your friends to play in the mud with you on the 22nd, or the 15th, or the 1st. So now we are here with the highlight of our meeting, our Q&A with Jason Cox. So we do have our draft high-frequency trail inspection form. This is weekly or semi-weekly. So, Jason, tell us the good news.
Well, so the original form that I've been filling out for the past couple of years actually came out of a book I got when I was taking a playground class so I knew what to look for. It was up in Seattle, hosted, I think, by UW. And in the booklet that I got, it had a form that looked very similar to what we were using. Jim Morgan, when he was here, he tweaked it a little bit, added the different park names to it. And then we had the note page to the back. But it was never intended to be a full-on park. It was a playground inspection report. So therefore, you never had some of the things that you see here as far as the parking, the leaves and branches, fences, anything like that. Before, it was always the surfacing material, the missing parts, broken things, anything loose, stuff like that. It never was for a full park. We just made it work, was why I put a note page, a full-on note page, and I would make little details about, oh, the neighbors did this, or they dug this hole, or broke this tree, or little things like that. I don't mind doing this, but this looks like I would need to do this for every place I inspect. And that's, now you're talking about a whole bunch more paperwork. It's just me.
This is only for the trail.
This is just for the trail?
Yes.
I thought, so I would still be doing the other one. This is just.
Yeah, this is just for the trail.
My bad. I love it. Got that one. I thought I was going to be doing like 16 of these twice a week. Okay. Got you.
It's a separate thing for inner urban.
Okay.
Do a lot of copy and paste.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, man, it's just me out there. I don't know, man.
No, this is just one thing for the trail because we thought we'd want to look at different things for the trail.
I got you. Okay.
Jason?
Yes, sir.
This one for the trail. I had something to do with it, but it was Josh Putnam who actually was responsible for it.
I see him on the trail all the time, so yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Okay.
See him walking his dog and exercising, and yeah, that's cool. I don't mind this. I mean, I'll add this to the other form and turn these in twice a week.
Okay.
Usually I do my inspections Mondays and Fridays. Unless there's a holiday, I do it Tuesday, or if I'm gone or something like that. Sometimes you may not get one on a Friday because I'm gone. And so I've also added, it didn't have anything like in my old, on the current form that I use now. I like to just try to give a couple bullet points of some major things that might have happened during the week, just to kind of keep you guys up to speed with, oh, we had issues with vandalism pretty hard this week, or the homeless camps, or, I mean, we've got a couple more that just moved in behind UPS. We just cleared some tents and some stuff, and now there's two more.
The trail?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know that it's technically our property. It might be state property, but there was an abandoned tent there, and I was asked to move it, get rid of it, and I did, because it was full of mold and stuff on the inside, so I got rid of it. And then the police chief, I think, said, well, maybe you better document that in case somebody comes back and says, you threw away my only picture of Nana, or, I mean, whatever. But what I found when they bring their, I don't mind them moving through. I mean, it's not my call. What I don't like is they leave all of the stuff behind.
Yeah.
They leave needles, they leave garbage.
The paraphernalia, the drug, yeah.
Yeah, this parking lot up here is super bad. I find roaches, as far as like marijuana roaches. I find needles sometimes. The garbage cans full of beer bottles. And then there's stuff during the week that I don't even think to jot down because I'm like, oh, I see this and I grab it and I throw it away and I on to the next thing. And so there's a lot more going on than what you're seeing. And I'm just trying to give you guys bullet points of like, this was really hard this week or this happened. And it's tough because like I say too, I can't rely on any, I would like more help. Because I'm trying to mow everything, take care of the trails, wetlands, and it's one guy. It's just, it's too much. And I try to do what I can, and I can't count on consistent help. So, I mean, that's something that I'm hoping that we get some seasonal help. We always budget for three, or we've been budgeting for three. And last year we had one guy, and the need was to put him in storm ponds. Because they get fined, so that's a big hot topic. They got to send reports in to ecology, and so the heart's willing. It's just it's one guy. I mean, just think how tired you are on a Saturday where you spend all day doing everything in your yard, and that's everything for me. So
I think we're ready to move on to the Q&A with Jason.
Okay.
So my first question is, do you have any estimate when the large park will be open?
Last I heard was there need to do some cleanup down there. The county needs to. It might not be till May again.
Okay.
And see, like last year, it got opened late, and we were barely able to knock it down, the grass, the tall grass, and the water was such that we couldn't mow half the time. We could only mow out to certain areas, and that sounds like it's going to be like that again this year, which is a shame because that's a nice park. It really is, or it has the potential to be. I'm sure it was at 120.
Do we have any other questions for Jason?
So looking out my back door, I can see the trail that goes through Pacific here. And a few times a year, I see somebody driving down that trail. And I notice walking through there myself often that sometimes the devices we have up are missing or damaged to the point where people can drive through there.
They can.
Is there anything better we could be doing without risking stopping emergency vehicles from being able to get in there?
The only thing that I could think was if we got some of those, like at Beaver Park, we had an issue with a neighbor that was backing his truck down through the park and dumping his debris in down into the off the side of the trail. So we ended up putting one of those bollards in there. It's a metal bollard, has a lock and a pin in there. You could unlock it, lower it down to where I could drive my vehicle over, put it back up. That might be an option.
No, there's one of those by over by Beaver Meadows where the War Memorial is gonna go in there.
Yeah, those are the
people driving around them.
Yeah,
because there's enough room on either side.
Yeah, there is. There's no real, I mean, they could still do that anyways. If you put one of the metal ones down, you're not going to really ever stop them. There's also kids that ride their dirt bikes down there. The police have been patrolling them a little more as of late, and the new officers that are on, they're doing a hell of a job.
Yeah.
And I've been working with them pretty closely with some parking signs. I had some put up, I put some up today over at, or one of them over at Aspen, because we had a neighbor, he's got like 10 or 12 vehicles. So he has a bunch of them in his driveway, then he lines the street and the park with them. And so I had some signs made up that say, no parking 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So that guarantees me a spot. If I need to pull in there with a trailer, I have room to park. Because there's been times where I've had to park halfway down the block and lug everything down there and then lug it back and lock it in the back of the truck so I can grab the blower now. And I mean, it's just not practical. So when I saw the cops already have put a parking violation sticker on the guy's van. So I mean, there's things like that that these cops have really been on the ball lately. They're easy to work with. I really appreciate them.
They towed a car out in front of our house the other morning at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And tagged the three or four others.
It was
awesome. Yeah, these guys are pretty good. I like them.
Comes to the door and said, "You call the cops, you have a person." And John goes, "No, but that's not a bad idea." Kind of might think about it. He goes, "Well, we did Wednesday, something about his taps, because his taps were expired." Yeah, you can't leave your car parked like that. It's fire and tops. I expect, you know, somebody that there's only so they're going to drive by. They do drive by every day.
Yeah.
And then I drive through, we drove through the neighborhood. There's a bunch of orange stickers. We saw a bunch of them that they had tagged parking violations.
Mm-hmm. And then I had Public Works Group give me a hand. We took some ecology blocks and a cable down on Alder, down at the end, that vacant lot that we have down there. Well, the neighbors to the right, the guy's been pulling his truck through, using it as a driveway so he doesn't have to back in and out.
Right.
And he's been rutting up the lawn. So our, I can't remember if it was the building inspector the other guy, building inspector. Yes. Talk to the guy. The guy was a huge jerk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I think you're on city property. You shouldn't be doing that. We put signs up saying stay off the lawns, you know, no parking there," whatever the deal was. I can't remember exactly what it said. He kept doing it. So we went down there with ecology blocks and a cable and put a lock, and he can no longer come through there. So we'll be able to unlock it when we get into mow, and then we'll lock it back up, and he's going to have to use his driveway.
I like the old neighbors. They used to have a volleyball court down there, and they used to mow it.
I've never seen anybody mow it. I've been here 6 years.
Yeah.
So it had to be before that.
It was. No. It was the old ones.
Yeah. So it's just me that mows it.
It was the best. They had the best barbecue, too.
Well, I'm down with that.
They barbecue thing, but they kept it pristine.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Do we have any other questions for Jason? Okay.
I have a question on the Aspen one that says burnout front lawn scraping some graffiti paint off people. Was that like at the same time?
You know what I think it is? It's cool that they're inclusive. I've seen a handicapped boy in a wheelchair down in that neighborhood. And the other boys play with him and stuff, and he tags along when they're riding their bikes. But I think what's happening
is he's
getting into the park there and burning out. He's got a motorized wheelchair. Uh-huh. And I think what he's doing is I didn't even know it was possible, but I think that's what it looks like. It looks like tires like this. And he was going in when the ground was soft, and he was going like doing donuts, and he was burning it out. And then he continually gets into the where the swings are there and the play chips, and goes around in circles and makes huge divots and grooves. If it's him, I've seen him over there a couple of times, but I have not actually seen him doing anything wrong. So I
think it's over by the basketball court. It's over by. Well, I've seen him. Yeah,
he's been over there by your guys' neighborhood too.
Yeah.
If that's him, I don't know if it's the same kid. I just, you know, whatever. And then I don't know if you guys saw in the minutes here a little while ago, I was going to ask you guys about the play chips. So I went through and I took our little mini rototiller, and I was able to bring them up about that much more. I don't think we're going to need to order play chips this year.
Oh, so that would be a nice thing. Like a $10,000 charge.
Yeah. I mean, that's a different story if they open up the big park because they didn't get any last year.
It's underwater.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. There was kids. I mean, I find shoes. Who sends their kids out there? I find actual shoes that got sucked off their feet.
During cleanup days, we've got a lot worse.
Yeah,
all that. One last question I forgot to ask you about.
Yeah.
I've heard that we have a lot of random dogs. Are you having issues with any loose dogs while you're going around your park duties?
Occasionally, we'll see what, I don't know that they're necessarily, I've seen a couple of strays that run together, but I think a lot of the dogs that have been trained to go over to the park, do their business, and then go home. There's a Chihuahua that does that over at Blueberry. It lives straight across. There's a long driveway across from Blueberry. And that last house down at the end, there's a Chihuahua there that does that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's all I've really noticed. I don't see a lot of people are pretty good about walking their dogs on leashes until they get out here to Clint Steiger. And then they let them off. We've had problems with, I think it's the seniors that are, you know, let the dog poop and then they just leave it.
Okay, so you've never been attacked by a random dog while you're doing your business?
No, I don't think so. Okay. Not that I can remember.
You'd remember.
But I would hope so. Yeah. Okay.
Is there any other? Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, sir?
I'd like to ask Jason what's his take on the gate that goes on the trail at Beaver Park.
That's our next thing that we're going to talk about.
Are you going to interface with Jason on that question? Because I know that there are a lot of people in this room that are interested in getting that gate closed.
Yeah, we're going to update our Beaver Park gate. That is our next agenda topic.
Well, we want to get the gate closed first.
It was closed and then it got complaints.
Okay, what's your take on that?
I don't live in the neighborhood. You'd be better off asking the people that do. But I know they talked about a kissing gate.
Yes.
And then that just fell flat. That was 2-3 years ago.
Jim Morgan was working on it. And so Chris is working on it.
Yeah, we're looking at quotes and we're just trying to get the best price because it's expensive right now.
Oh, I know everything is secure.
If I'm not mistaken, that little park was built by the home builder for the development of that community.
It was, and
it was not ever intended to access the trail. It just happened to have a gate there before the trail was paved and nice and usable that far. And so there is no parking spots at that trail for anybody to park a vehicle, you know, designated parking spots, especially an ADA parking spot. And a block and a half down the road, there is designated trail use parking in both directions with handicap parking. So I really see no need that gate even needs to exist. It could just be a fence there. And that park could be used for the community it was meant for, not access the trail at all.
And I'm totally cool with that.
When we first moved in, it was closed. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it was open and I was like, is that gate open? I was like, what happened? Like, why is the gate open? Like, it just doesn't seem safe because there's small kids all the time in that park.
Mm-hmm.
And it could take, you know, especially with you talk about the homeless now, thinking that they could just use that trail anytime they want to. What's going to stop them from coming in to our hood, our neighborhood, and taking a kid or taking a dog or
go through that gate, but we also have no problem walking the
block away,
and going on the train to park.
I feel the same way. I mean
that's fine with me. If you guys
are being
like that, I'll see to get that shut until we make a final decision on what you want to do.
And
I'll bring it up to the mayor or to my lead tomorrow morning and.
There was a reason why somebody said there was some stipulation why it needed to be stay open. So that's why it got reopened. And then somebody else in the neighborhood complained because they wanted to walk on the trail. And it's like, I just want
somebody told us that we had to have more access to the trail. So I think we need to determine what the requirements are. Mm-hmm. So could you look up to see what the requirements are for that trail?
Yeah, and I'm almost wondering if the developer made that specifically for that neighborhood. Is there a homeowners association that would have...
There is a homeowners association on that end of that neighborhood. So in order for them to get permits to build those houses, they had to provide... because they're smaller lots, they had to provide outdoor activity areas. And so that's why all those little pocket parks are up around all those neighborhoods. So that was never built intended for the trail. The problem is there's a gate there, so people are going to complain that it isn't open and accessible. So rather than locking the gate, if there was no gate there and it was fenced off, it wouldn't even be an option or a topic for anybody to bring up.
True.
Yeah, you're right.
So we just need to determine if we are required by some law to have a gate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then all that stuff also happened before we had parking lots a block in each direction for the public to park and access the trail.
Mm-hmm. And we just need to know who that is.
Okay. I had a meeting with David Kyogubi, a city engineer, and I asked him specifically, is there a way that technology could be used in some way to make it so if that's an ADA gate, that someone could open it for people in wheelchairs? Other than that, keep it closed. I have a news article here from about a week ago that says that people in Bellevue now have to be extremely careful because the trails are now being used as a way of getting into neighborhoods by gangsters. And I think that if it's in Bellevue, it'll soon be here. Myself, I have 600 feet of frontage on a trail in Tumwater, and since that trail has gone in, I can't even keep windows. They're taking everything. I've lost all my tools, so I'm not for having just an opening right on a trail. I think there must be some way that the ADA can be addressed, and I believe if you talk to David, he'll be able to explain to you how it can be done. He says he wants to go on record that technology will step in and solve this problem, okay?
Okay. Chris is going to take a look at it, and we will make a recommendation at our next meeting. Okay. Are we done with Beaver? So we can move to the pop-up dog park.
I got my star. So one of the things the city's lacking is a dog park, and I know there's been some discussion about putting it out here at Clint Steiger. However, at the White River Estates neighborhood, there's all of this land that there used to be houses there until the flood, and that was 2009, I believe, 2010, wiped out all of those houses. And so right now that land is just county owned and unused and unmanaged. And so I think the ultimate goal is for the city to take formal possession of that land, and we're going to put in some dog parks on a trial basis there and see how it goes. And that way we're increasing the size of the park space within the city while still being able to utilize Clint Steiger for other things.
So I know that the mayor has been working on that for about 2 years now.
Yes.
So has that decision been made and the county gave it to us?
It looks like we're going to do the pop-up dog park as a trial to try to force the county's hand.
Can we do a pop-up dog park on land that's not ours?
Yeah, it's not a...
Well, the mayor is actually trying to reach is contacting the county again.
Okay.
Last week, get permission to do that. And what I found, I'm looked into other cities. Oh, some of you haven't met. So my name's Kevin. I'm the community services director for someone you haven't met yet. So I'm wondering who I am up here talking to. But anyways, so I've researched some other cities. The big thing now is these pop-up dog parks. So they're more like a temporary dog park. Botho does it so they could each year they'll have different locations where they'll have a dog park throughout the summer season throughout their city. City of Sumner has one in Siegenthaler Park that they just put up a couple, I think this past year. And they did a pop-up one just kind of as a trial to see how it goes in the neighborhood, to see what the feedback is of having the dog park. And by doing that, you're just putting in these steel posts and more of a temporary kind of fencing, which, and then the budget for that, they, like Bothell did theirs for $4,000 or so for a 30,000 square foot dog park for the fencing for that. And so it's kind of a trial that way over White River once we get the permission from the county. We'd like to do like Bothell did. They have two dog areas, one for bigger dogs, one for smaller dogs. This is what they did. Sumner does all-inclusive one for all size dogs. But from what I've seen in other cities, it works a little better because I know small dogs don't like to be in there with those big dogs and stuff like that. So we thought this is a great low-cost way of trying out and using that space over there, and that way that space will get maintained more than it does now. Obviously, it doesn't maintain at all. And by having, you know, dog parks, we can, you know, eventually, if it goes well, then there's a lot of other things you can do for dog parks. Put benches there, picnic tables over there. Some dog parks even have little obstacle courses. There's, believe it or not, there's play equipment you can buy for dog parks to put out there for them to have little courses, things to do to make them look, you know, pretty cool and attractive. So that's kind of the reason for doing a pop-up one. And like I said, Waffle House at Kirkland, Sumner, there are several cities that do that. And of course, after talking to you guys, and we're going to be going to council with that as well. So
I have a question. You just told me you were overworked.
Yeah, I'm hearing work, work, work. I'm just hearing
more. And so I'm saying, is there the cost of doing this? Are we going to include the maintenance, you know, the doggy pickup, doggy do pickup? And I have a feeling that somebody can't take on any more work, not mentioning somebody's name.
Because I like that somebody likes the idea of it. He's just trying to figure out the practicality of adding another area to mow, more stuff to clean up.
Right. So
more litter because they're there and they get up and leave with their dog and leave their McDonald's sitting there.
Right. So maybe we should add, you know, the cost of
pop-up. I know that's considered too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then you've already considered it, so never mind.
That's something.
Yeah, because I've discussed that with Kevin, and I'm on board with it. I think it's a great idea if we can offer that for some people. I mean, it's 30 seconds away if they want to drive over there, and there's room for parking.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Instead of them bringing their dog to run around the Steiger Park only, is hopefully encourage and promote, you know, to go to the dog park and let the dog. This is the alternative.
Yeah.
Let's go over there and have dogs run around, not run around unleashed in the park here.
Dog park is the reason I joined the park board. So I'm all over a dog park. I just, when I hear somebody is already overcommitted, I want to make sure that we don't add 10% to his overcommittal.
Well, I have to tell you guys that. I have to be open and tell you guys that because I don't want your expectations to be here if I can't meet him and I'm like somewhere, your expectations is a 9 and I'm coming in at a 6 because I'm just, that's my thing is I'm willing to do the work. It's just sometimes finding the manpower because.
I understand.
Yeah. And so that's my only deal is I kind of feel like when I took the job on at the beginning, the job is way different now. It's way different now.
How is it different, man?
Because there's so much more now. I mean, I'm cleaning up garbage. There's a Pacific Partnership garbage can that's down here on a Metro bus sign that somebody walks by every single morning or however they're doing it, and they drop their poop bag in there. And Pacific Partnership had a understanding, I heard, with Metro. They were given free bus passes out in exchange. Pacific Partnership was cleaning up these cans. There's one left and nobody's cleaned it up. So I've been tasked with once a week to clean up that now. And what happens is sometimes it'll get so full that when I try to pull it out, it rips. So now I have leaky bags of that in the back of my truck as well as all over the ground. So, I mean, it's just little things like that you can't point at one big thing and say, oh, now I have all this. You add all these little things and it's like.
Could you give us a list of all those things that you do?
Yeah.
Because that was not part of your job description.
It was city-owned properties. I took care of the landscaping.
Right. But I also know that, and I don't know if Chris, at one time, we pay for 10% of all public works employees plus you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the deal was that you would only be mowing and maintaining parks, and the 10% of public works was supposed to keep all of that stuff away from you. So if you have 5 people, 10%, we were supposed to have half of a public works person who did all the other stuff. But it sounds like that stuff has rolled downhill. So we may have to roll it back up the hill so we can get you some help.
Yeah. So if it's a big project and there's guys in public works that are like better at on a backhoe or they in their jobs before they did cement work, obviously they're gonna help me. But as far as like when we're in the middle of grow season, I'm mowing, I'm trying to keep up with pruning, I'm trying to keep things like safe where, you know,
I understand.
Yeah. And so there's all this stuff. And sometimes I get frustrated with the fact that there's 8 to 10 guys and then there's one park guy.
Right. But you were only supposed to do one thing and they were supposed to help you.
Yeah. Well.
Because Parks has dedicated 2.5 people. So you have a person and a half, I think. At least you had a person and a half in 2019.
I had some mowing last year.
You had a full-time person and a half plus seasonal.
That was paid for or that I actually got?
No, that you were. It was paid for.
Yeah, well, I didn't get that.
Okay, well.
That's what I'm saying. We rely on, I'm told, seasonal helpers. So... That sounds great, but if you don't get them,
what he put in the budget for this year?
Okay, well, I will get some mow help here and there. I will get that. That I've been assured when I need some mow help. But as far as all the other things that go with it, like if that big park opens up, that's almost 2 full days just to mow it. If you mow everything,
right?
So where does that leave me with doing my inspections? Doing any projects, a piece of equipment at Milwaukee broke, I need to work on that. Where do I find all that time?
We will ask your boss.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think he'll be here next month. His boss.
Oh, and a side note, the seasonal position was posted today for Parks.
Right.
Which one? Mark?
Well, Mark?
Mark's technically his boss because he's the interim public works manager.
Okay.
So he's actually the interim manager, but then I have a lead that doles out the assignments during the...
Yes, but I found it's best to start at the top because it rolls down.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. My thing is, when I got on this park board, I was like, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm kind of learning stuff. My thing is, if you need the help and you're supposed to be getting help, we need to address that. And the parks need to look good. They need to be presentable. They need to be safe for our kids, for everybody. And whether we're going to have a dog park or not, I mean, that needs to be, you know, kept up. Yes, the trail, it is a lot. And I commend you for doing it. I know I've talked to you on several occasions. We've had several discussions about things.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you do it just one person. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, here we're sitting here. There's 1, 2, 3. There's 5 of us for a park board.
Yeah.
I mean, you're one person for how many parks do you have to take care of?
11.
There's 11 down here, but then the trail takes a lot of work because you have. It's constant thoroughfare of people traveling through, and I could go through, and I did last Thursday. I went from Stewart all the way down to where we end at Algona, and I drove the entire trail, and I took a backpack blower, and I parked the truck in certain areas, and I go through, and I blew all the gravel off. I had a 5-gallon bucket that I cleaned up and I dumped it into a bigger can back of my truck. I filled up 2 hefty garbage sacks and I had it all nice and clean. I just drove down it today. There's gravel everywhere again. And I don't understand how it's getting that bad. I could see somebody pulling off, you know, on their bicycle and when they're getting back on, they spin out a little bit, but it's
all the way down.
All the way down. And it's like, I don't have time to do this all the time. I try right now. I mean, the mowing's getting ready to get going. But right now, my priority is I look at the garbage and I make sure that things are safe.
Mm-hmm.
So I take care of I try to get as presentable as I can.
I try to get all the litter up, and I try to make sure that this is in working order. I think I talked to Regina, you had your friend's daughter with you that time. And it's like, my kids were little ones. I wouldn't want to send them out to play on stuff that I didn't know was safe.
Exactly.
So that's my priority. That's where I'm coming from. I want to make sure it's presentable the best I can and that it's safe. Other than that, I just deal with it as best I can. And
so we'll get you some help.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yes. On the trail, I can tell you from being a trail user, is one, the design was horrible. The gravel is taller than the blacktop, and two, they used loose gravel instead of packing gravel. Yeah. And so you can't even walk in that gravel to let bikes go by without dragging some of it back into there.
Well, and I'm just thinking of, so then when they redid that new section of the trail, and when they just paved it, hey, you get dizzy just looking at it, you're like, whoa. And then how are you going to mow on the sides of that? You got to come up a huge hump to get back up to, onto the trail to cross over to mow the other side. And it's like, I'm not sure how that's going to work, you know? And then we have our brusher that has to mow the ditch lines in there and keep that knocked back. And that's just going to spread gravel everywhere. I'm not sure how it's going to work, but I don't know. Maybe that's something that at some point we come to council. I think you sit on council too, don't you? Mm-hmm. No, we might have to come and present something to you guys. And I know we're going to start negotiating at the end of, is it this summer for a new contract? I think we do.
I definitely think something needs to happen to that gravel on the trail. It would be scraped down to pavement height and pushed off the sides, or reduced, or just totally removed and put in some, yeah, some packable, you know, 5/8 finest gravel, right, a little bit passed so down.
Could you investigate that? Because again, we were told what Jim Morgan, that was something, the gravel. I know we have many a discussion about gravel, which
I can.
A gravel is gravel to me.
Well, that's
as far as I know, they have not signed off on the work that the county did. They're supposed to do a walkthrough. According to my lead, they're supposed to be doing a walkthrough because their signs are still up as well. As far as road work or men working, whatever it said. And they were supposed to reduce those big heights to more of a rounded, and that has not happened. So I don't know where that is. But
so, Chris, did they ask for a permit?
I mean, even this end of the trail that's been done for a couple of years now, it's still the gravel's this much taller than the
table. Like he said,
they have been. I've seen the signs out there. I'm going to try and get a hold of King County.
Okay. Oh, they don't need a permit to work on the trail.
Yeah, I'm just
because it's not our trail. It's the county trail. Never mind. I was thinking it was ours for a brief second. So we put all that money into a trail that we don't own. We spent $1.5 million on that trail.
Still benefits our community. Yeah.
It may benefit our community, but I'm shocked that we weren't allowed any design.
How many millions of dollars go into roads that we drive on to get here?
Oh, and that was the other thing when we did that, and we had to do that mitigation, or the where we had to put in the wetlands, so at the beginning over at our well site at Algona, Buckley Nursery planted all that, and they maintained it for about a year. They come in, get rid of blackberries and some undesirable weeds that were in there, and put herbicide down and kept it up. Well, then their contract ended and it got turned back over to us.
Right.
I couldn't keep up with it. So we had a seasonal guy that went in there, and it was too much. He couldn't do it. It was just way too much work. So we've talked about, and we talked with Chris about this grant of getting somebody in there that can kind of clean it up for us, where I can still go in there and assess things and say, hey, this is dying, or this needs a little pruning over here. But as far as it would take two or three guys a couple weeks with weed eaters, and you'd need to do that two or three times. Towards the end of the summer, I mean, it's dead stuff, so it's not coming back as much, but it's a lot of work. And so you got to figure you have that, and then on the other side of the fence, before you get
that's
to Bowie.
That's probably a park, is it?
No, but I have been tasked.
But that's a public works thing.
I've been tasked with that.
I understand. That's a public works thing.
She's all over it.
Yeah.
I'm all over it.
Well, it's actually what it is. It's the storm department.
Again, yeah. Not a parks thing.
So, but they changed my title when I'm not just the public works lead. I don't know who the hell I'm leading. It's just me. But it got changed to, I was trying to get a raise because it was a trial thing when I started and I wasn't sure how it was going to go. I had ideas and we talked when I first got that position and I met some of the park board down at the big park.
Yep.
And it kind of evolved into, well, let's have you do this. It's landscape related. Let's have you do this. I got you. But what I'm...
A month.
Okay.
Give me 2 months. And we'll figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And then we will have you back dedicated to what you started as.
So they put me, also they changed when I was trying to get a raise. Apparently that didn't go through with council. I'm not sure how that worked out. What they did was the best, I was advised by the union and our shop steward to change my name, my title to, because they said there's no money in parks. So I went from park lead to park maintenance worker / wetland specialist. That just accepted all of that. And then when I came to vote on my contract, I found out, oh yeah, no, that didn't go through. You just got a title change on me and raised with that.
Okay.
So that's where I was kind of like a punch in the gut. And I just added a whole bunch of more stuff onto my plate, which I'm happy to work with people and coordinate and get that done because I help everybody. I mean, you can ask Chris. I help people. That's who I am. What I did not appreciate is taking on a whole bunch more work with no more pay.
I understand.
So it sounds like we're on the same page.
We are.
So.
Is there anything else to come before us this evening? Yes, sir.
I think it's time that we say something nice to Jason. You've been about 3 years doing this, haven't you?
Oh, it's better.
The official title, yes. Huh. Well, I've been doing it. I've been here a little over 6 years, and I got thrown in. I started off as maintenance one worker.
But parks.
But I got thrown into the parks because that was my background. I took care of
3 years now?
Officially the title was, but I've been in parks here for 6 years because I got thrown in. There was a need for it. I came from the Bellevue School District doing the grounds.
Well,
maintenance there.
All I can say is that I hear people telling me that the parks are looking better all the time. And I think we know who's responsible for that. Hey, could you lead a round of applause for the park?
Thank you.
Safe as you can.
Like I say, I do the best I can. I get frustrated at times because I have a high expectation for not only my work, because like some of you see me in the parks, you associate me with that work, and I get embarrassed if I feel like I haven't been able to keep up with that. But I try to be practical about it. Like I told you guys, I can't count on consistent health, then, you know, I don't know what to say to that. So.
I think better communication too. This, you know, I want to know more about what's going on. I want to know what you're finding. I want to know what's going on. And, you know, I might just start walking that.
I'm sure city council would like to hear about this.
At 11 p.m., I'm going to get on the trail with my husband and my
friend.
UPS.
Yeah.
Borrow somebody's German Shepherd and get on the trail.
That's kind of scary. We have.
Well, we had one guy. He was working his way south, and he was at the library. He had two caravans just himself.
I seen him.
He had an umbrella and a big pack of stuff with wagons tied together.
Was he in the porta potty for 2 days down here or something?
Yeah.
Okay,
so I had the police do a welfare check on him. Because he was sleeping or half sleeping.
In the porta potty?
No, on the where the war memorial site is down on 3rd. His head was on the gravel, but the rest of him was down in the lawn.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay. And he had all the stuff. I'd already got rid of a whole bunch of it that he'd left further down the trail because I thought it was abandoned. So he made do with his second. It was like you've seen the movie The Grapes of Wrath. It was like the people with their old Model Ts with all their belongings. I mean, it was like that. And I felt bad because it was like, but then I started looking at what's in there and it's like, this is just junk. It's junk.
Well, it's because they don't have anything. And that's,
well, it was busted pallets.
Everything
and
they, yeah.
I mean, it was.
I just feel like that's all they have. And so they just hold on to it and pack it around. And then they don't understand, but it wouldn't be so bad to me. Like, I get it, right? I get it. You're home. I get it. But why do you have to be garbage and be
right.
dirty?
Right.
They went through a recycling bin at work, made themselves a home out of the cardboard, and then just left the cardboard.
Right.
Like, we're supposed to clean up after them. Like, that's not how this works. Society is not. It's failing us. Where kids are going to grow up and think it's okay to just throw a wrapper on the ground in front of somebody and you're walking. No, that's not okay.
Well, it's like the little kids I was telling you about to live over there off of Rhubarb on the corner. I don't think that they're taught to clean up after themselves because their front yard looks exactly like what they do to the Rhubarb Park. And
yeah, you're like, okay,
yeah. I mean, we had the police go over there and talk to him because one of the kids had a bow and arrow drawn on his buddy.
Oh,
and it was a real steel tip arrow. It wasn't like it was a dart.
Oh my god.
And it was like, you're gonna.
Yeah, I mean, guys, we've had an emergency stop and slam on the brakes, and I've almost ran those kids over.
Yeah,
it just
yeah, you know exactly which ones that we talked about. Which ones they are? They're It's horrible.
I'll never forget when it snowed. It snowed when we first moved into the neighborhood and it snowed a lot. And we were putting anybody out. They built a fort or something across
the
road.
It's a 5-foot snowman that took up the whole
road. It's snowing. Like, are you trying to die?
Yeah.
Because if a car comes around, they're not going to be able to stop. They're going to run you over.
They got me one time. I had one.
DSHS?
We notified the police.
They got me one time. I kind of had to laugh about it because the garbage can there that's chained to the light post by the basketball court. I went to pull the garbage bag out. There's a bunch of garbage in there. I couldn't lift it. I had to unlock it, put it on its side, and start shimmying the bag out. And then I started looking, and they had ice balls. They had packed it with ice balls and then threw a little bit of garbage over the top. It was probably 200 pounds. There was no way I was going to lift that. I was like, all right.
Is there anything else to come before us? Then we are adjourned, and our next meeting will be on the
18th.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Tracy.